Backseat Producers, episode number 115, 9. Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, this is Daryl.
And this is Adam.
And we are the Backseat Producers. And we are just 2 days away from going to Archon, which will be over by probably 2 or 3 weeks by the time you guys listen to this.
You know what's awesome? You sent out this spreadsheet with episodes and listing like that. What are we talking about next week?
That's a good question, because we've got like a bunch of stuff that we should probably plan for. We should pick something that's fairly well known, since we'll like all be at Archon and busy until at least Monday.
So, what's pretty well known?
I don't know. Any suggestions?
Yeah, chat room, mull it over.
We'll let the chat room decide. And yeah, talk amongst yourselves. Figure it out for us. Let us know what we're talking about next week. Let's go ahead and press on.
We're not doing Ghostbusters. No. I would do Highlander, though.
Ghostbusters has been done on this podcast before. I'm just saying.
I would do Highlander, though, in a second.
Highlander? Do we do Highlander?
Dave would be running a wet t-shirt contest again this year. When you say running, do you mean
winning? Yeah, I do believe he won the wet t-shirt contest last year. It was the dance.
I got a nice
rack. Was the Buddha dance.
I got an incredible rack. yeah, so let them. My vote's for Highlander.
I'm in for Highlander.
Christopher Lambert, come on, you cannot go
wrong. Which version of it are we going to do?
Let's do the original
one. Let's just do the original.
Oh, no, we got to do the European one. I like the European one better.
All right. Is it on Netflix?
I think so. I think it's out there under like the Ultimate Edition.
Am I going to be able to find this movie at Blockbuster?
You know what? I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to you on Sunday.
I accept these terms. It's down in the vault. I accept these terms.
The anime version.
There's an anime version?
So let's go ahead and move on to 9, which is our movie for this evening.
Yes, it is. And I watched it last night.
Watched most of it.
Most of it.
Through your eyelids.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start with the high-level review?
High-level review. I don't feel 100% qualified to give a high-level review because, quite honestly, I fell asleep through part of this movie and woke up and didn't realize I had fallen asleep. What I can say about it is a beautiful film. Just absolutely stunning in the visual aspects. This film started off as, and this is a little more than high level, but it started off as an 11-minute short film. I would have much rather seen the 11-minute short film.
How is that not high level?
I don't know.
That's pretty high level.
That's pretty high level.
I loved it. I mean, the nice all apocalypse-y and dark and everything that you kind of go for in a film. The animation is just, you can't say enough good things about it. The characters were well thought out, although I felt a lot more sympathy for some of them than others. After a while, I began to see what the guy was trying to say with these things. One thing that hurts this film a little bit is there's a lot of backstory that is left out, which would make it a heck of a lot less confusing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I took a
shot. I don't know.
You know what? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
There's a lot of backstory that's not shown, unfortunately, which makes the story a little bit more, a little less confusing. Because it kind of, they start the movie off kind of in the, they start Nine's introduction off kind of a quarter away through the story. And then it's where Nine essentially comes to life and starts venturing out of the lab.
This is the longest high level review ever.
Yep. Then it starts to get interesting.
I liked the movie, but I was not wild about the movie. I saw Gamer the same night, and I thought Gamer was a better movie. So high level review's done.
Yeah.
There's really no acting, because the actors, I mean, because it's all CG or whatever.
There's a little bit of voice acting that's worth saying. I would say Martin Landau did a great job as Five. Was he Five?
Martin Landau sounds like One.
No.
No, that was...
That was somebody else. Martin Landau was Two, maybe.
Two.
Yeah, Martin Landau was Two. Five was John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
5 was John C. Reilly. 5 was the big one?
No, 8 was the big one. Eight.
Yeah, you're going to have to be more specific. You can't just use the numbers.
Christopher Plummer was...
7. The... 7 was Jennifer Connelly. I know Jennifer Connelly.
Plummer. Yeah, Christopher Plummer was the number one.
Who's Christopher Plummer?
I sound like I beat him with
I sound like
again?
I should know this one.
Yeah.
Well, instead of... Can you tell me who he is?
Honestly, I can't.
Sounds like no.
Yeah, well, yeah. Christopher Plummer is kind of a... He's a character actor. He does a lot of the heavy parts. Usually, he's your catch-all villain in a lot of movies.
Sounds like you can't tell me who he is. What has this guy been in?
Captain Von Trapp in Sound of Music.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know who that is. Go ahead and continue. I'm going to look this guy up.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as the voice acting goes, I would actually give props to Martin Landau as 2. John C. Reilly was okay. Elijah Wood was really Elijah Wood. I'm not that impressed with him in general, and I was not that impressed with him in this. He was very tame and mellow and ethereal, and that's just kind of the way he is. He was just kind of being himself through it, and it didn't impress me as far as an acting.
I didn't even notice it was
gig.
Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tend to agree with you there. He was the weakest, I think, of all the characters in terms of personality.
I thought they could have done a better job with the voice acting through the 9. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. the 7 or 8, because I don't know that we saw them all.
No, you saw them all.
Did we see them
you
all?
You saw them all.
Yeah.
You
well, 3 and 4. 3 and 4 don't talk.
Right. They're twins.
The twins. They don't talk. But I thought they could have done a better job of getting some more dynamic voices, because a few of them just kind of blended together. It was kind of like the color tones of the film. A lot of it kind of blended together, which was actually the point.
Well,
but
yeah,
the voices could have been more dynamic.
Well, they were a little emotionless because they're trying to give the impression that, you know, they've been through so much, their emotions have kind of been drained somewhat out of them. Now, the only contradiction to that is essentially 7, who's the bounciest, most up one in the whole film.
Right.
Oh, he was Van Helsing in Dracula 2000. Why didn't you guys use that as a reference? All right.
The eye patch Klingon in Star Trek 6. Yes. Nice. All right.
All right. So I don't disagree with that. I thought that a lot of the differentiation between the numbers was based on personality. And I was fine with the voices the way they were.
It was personality and body type.
Yeah.
They did a lot with body type to make the differentiation.
There was big guy. There was chick. There was leader dude. There was old guy.
There was the Cyclops, one eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy. Well, out of sight, out of mind.
Seven has ADHD. All right.
All right. So, I don't know. Where do you want to go next? I'll start with plot. Might as well.
Sure.
Actually, let's go with art, because we actually get to do art.
Well, yeah, the art in this, it's pretty spectacular.
I thought one of the best things that they did in this movie was through the landscape and all of that, they implied so much of a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was awesome. Later, when they tell you the backstory, I thought they crapped all over it, just because it was so painful to listen to. It's like, oh, yeah, I got this already.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked how they gave you the impression, without telling you, when it was set. Mm. And that it's not postmodern. It's like...
It's post-World War II.
It's
pre-World War II.
It's pre-World War II.
It's like, kind of a mix. You've got a mix of World War II, World War I. You've got...
It's like 20s and 30s era. Yeah. It was like, this happened during the Depression, kind of. That was kind of the feel that I got for
all the time that happened before I was born blends together.
Doesn't count. Yeah, I know.
It all blends together. It was the before time, and it's all punctuated by World War II.
PA, pre-Adam.
Yeah, pre-Adam. Dead mother. Oh, the one in the car?
The dead mother. And that was one of the things that bothered me about this film, is that we saw the mother and the child in the car. And we saw the professor
lying on the floor.
Yeah, you only see three bodies.
And there was still skin and form to those bodies, and they weren't bloated and they weren't decayed. Gives me the impression that these people didn't die all that long ago. Yet the look of the world and the despair of the stitch punks, it seemed like it was much longer. It seemed like they had been surviving for years, possibly. And that's not the impression I got from the world, just in a few of the cues, that it was like, we went for the shock value of seeing the dead bodies,
right?
But they didn't want to go for the full-on dead body,
right,
decaying look.
Well, I mean...
But The thing was, it didn't work.
They went for the symbolism of the dead body, not the reality of decomposition.
And I thought that was a mistake. They could have showed skeletons. They could have just showed skeletons lying in the road, and you would have got the same idea. They could have showed the skeleton of the professor, and it would have still worked.
That was okay. Yeah, I don't know. That was okay. I didn't think the bodies were necessary. Well, other than the obvious plot point of the professor being there. He's got his hand around the box.
Yeah.
I didn't think the bodies were necessary really at all. I mean, I think it would have been more powerful just looking at the empty husk of the world, and it would have communicated a lot more loneliness sans humans. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, you see the bodies are like, oh, those people died. There were people here, yeah, instead of just nothing.
We got that impression, though, from seeing all the human artifacts. The cars, the stuff.
Yeah, but there was a body, Tony. Have you ever seen the movie The Body? Oh, no.
There is no movie called The Body. That's why it's called Stand By Me.
What I was waiting for was... So they had the skeleton dog running around.
The skeleton cat.
That was the...
Whatever. The skeleton...
The beast.
The skeleton whatever was running around. I was waiting for the skeleton human to start running around. Yeah. Because that would have been horrific and awesome. But there was no skeleton human.
That would have been the Terminator.
Let me go ahead and spoil that for everybody. Okay, so I guess let's start cruising through the plot. Nine wakes up.
Nine's alone.
Nine's alone.
Nine is lonely.
And starts cruising about, can't talk. Spies another nine-looking creature down on the street and goes and scopes it out.
Which apparently, through doing a little bit of research... They're referred to as the Stitch Punks. Because I missed a portion of this movie by falling asleep. And there was a piece of exposition that I did not get. So I tried to do a little bit of research so I could figure out just what the hell I missed.
It was long and it was rough to get through, believe me. So Nine, the Stitch Punk, cruises down and finds... Two is Martin Landau.
Mm-hmm.
Finds yeah. Martin Landau chilling and pushing along a little drunk tray.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Landau fixes his voice box.
Yes.
And then Martin Landau was taken by the Beast.
The Beast.
The Beast was actually pretty cool looking.
The Beast was pretty cool.
I dug the Beast. I dug the Beast, and then, they spent so much time talking about how the Beast is the end all. And then, the Beast plot is resolved very quickly.
Yeah.
Nine is the loneliest number. No. So, two was taken off by the Beast to the Black Factory place.
Mm-hmm.
Big bad factory place.
That still looks to be somewhat operational.
It's smoking.
It's smoking. So it's either on fire or there's something going on inside of it. One of the two.
I forget exactly how Nine makes his way to the church at this point.
Does the
one-eyed guy find him and take him there?
Yes.
Like, does he get knocked out by the Beast? Just collapse?
He gets pitched by the Beast.
Black Factory Place. Let's call it what it is. Detroit.
Oh, man, you're brutal.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That, wow. So, I forget. I'll be honest. I completely forget how he gets to
he got... Okay, so the Beast... He encounters the Beast, and the Beast, hits him as he's trying to help... Two.
Right, and then it almost takes his arm off.
Yeah, and his arm is coming off.
A little torn, yeah.
And
Five picks him up.
Yeah, he pretty much collapses, and Five picks him up and brings him back, and
stitches him back together.
Stitches him back up, but doesn't tell One, and One is pissed.
Yeah, One is pissed.
One's like, hey, why didn't you tell me first?
Hey, WTF.
Because I'm the leader.
And then
because I'm number one.
Eight shows up and he's big.
And yeah, Eight is like, what's his name from Superman 2?
I've never seen that movie, Tony.
The big guy that was General Zod's heavy. Anyway, how can you not have seen Superman 2?
Easily.
You are missing.
I keep trying
out.
To explain this to Melina, but it is like the easiest thing in the world not to do something. There's no effort required. You don't even have to make a conscious effort not to do something.
So maybe we should talk about that next week.
No, let's not do that.
So after One meets up with Nine and they get all together and they head up the into the attic of the church,
mm-hmm.
where essentially Eight is being kind of a little bully. Well, I'll use the term a little.
He's a big bully.
Yeah,
he's a big guy.
He's a big guy in comparison to the others, yes. But he's a little bit more, a little too hands-on sometimes with his comrades. But anyway, as they're kind of going up to meet one and six, one is trying to give him a little bit of the reason why they're a little bit more paranoid than they need to be, because he's been through the devastation, so he knows what's out there. So he's been trying to hold together the group in some sort of sanctuary. And of course, Nine doesn't understand that just yet. Being newly awakened, he doesn't know what the horrors they've seen so far.
Right.
And about this time, they reach up to the attic where One is trying to explain to him the way the world is and why they're so paranoid. And Six spots Nine, and Six is a little unstable.
And 69 action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. 69 action.
And I forgot to take the picture. So I had to go to Ronnie's last night. This is completely off topic, sort of, but it has to do with me going to the movie. So I go to Ronnie's last night. It's in auditorium number 6. I look up, and I'm looking at 6-9.
Oh!
And I was like, I should take a picture 69. Of that.
You just kept walking.
And I will Tony when now. I come out. Oh, no, and I left, no. And I did not. And I was like, God damn it. Oh. All right. So anyway, moving on.
You know that was intentional.
That was awesome.
Well, Six tends to go a little crazy and starts telling Nine that he, from his visions, which he's been drawing up on the resident artist.
Is the last, like, five of the last 10 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck of this movie.
You know, not your word, and if you notice, that's why I hated it.
If you notice, his hands are pens.
Uh-huh.
They're fountain pens. And he's all covered with ink, and mostly covered with ink.
Yeah.
He's the messiest one of them all. He tries to tell Nine essentially his vision about going back to the source, which absolutely makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Eight tends to dismiss him as he's just crazy. He wasn't put together right. And One just tends to somewhat ignore him too and just put up with his antics. But he's pestering Nine there with his visions and drawings of back to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, all hell breaks loose again.
Well, it doesn't really break loose. I mean, one and, was that five? No, nine and five.
Nine and five
go, stand and watch. And he's like, dude, I'm going to go get two. Mm-hmm. And five's like, nah, let's not do that. And Nine's like, fine, stay here, douche.
Well, and then
they're going to the factory.
Doesn't seven go with them, though?
No.
No, they meet up with seven in the factory.
Oh, that's right.
Once they get cornered by the beast again. They meet up with Seven now.
Yeah, so
this might have been where I fell asleep.
And Seven's the most interesting character in the whole movie.
We're starting to get into spoiler territory.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, see, and that's the problem is the movie is pretty slow, with the exception of except for the sequence of the beast, the first
even the action sequences are slow because it takes so long for them to go because they're so small. Traversing the slightest bit of distance takes him like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Well, when you're only 8 inches tall, it does take you a while. You just don't have that stride.
For only an 80-minute long movie,
it's so much longer.
Really slow. It is a really slow movie. So I think I'm a little bit defended in the fact that I did kind
of... I'm going to argue the other thing. 80 minutes was way too short for this film. They could have added another 20 minutes of story.
Well, let's get into the spoiler section so I can unleash.
Before we get into the spoiler section, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the history of the movie. I kind of mentioned it, and just in the fact that this started off as an 11-minute student film, a silent student film, with basically the same plot, except there were only two of the Stitches, the Stitch Punks, instead of nine of them. It was basically the characters of Nine and Five. The rest of them had been killed, and the same basic story, the same basic resolution, but it was only 11 minutes long with no dialogue. I could have been all in for that, to be completely honest, from what I saw in the longer form of the movie.
I was all in for the preview. Nine to the Coheed and Cambria. I was down with it. But the preview was better than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all the history you've got?
That's all the history I got.
I like your histories. Well, they're so short.
Well,
I mean, it was the short film was also nominated for an Oscar, for a short film Oscar.
Yeah, Tim Burton had saw it and picked it up and essentially gave the director creator the ability to make a longer version of it.
Yeah. And one thing worth noting with this movie and why that I had to wait till last night to see it. This movie's only been in theaters 3 weeks?
Yeah. No.
No, it's been out longer.
It released like the first week in September.
Yeah.
No, it released on... 999. Well...
999.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks ago. Three weeks ago today.
Yeah, okay.
Three weeks.
Tongue mask, that's fair.
Okay.
3 weeks. Okay. It's been in theaters 3 weeks. One of the two major chains of theaters in the St. Louis area will completely stop showing it tomorrow. It's done.
And are they still showing Half-Blood Prince?
No, but they're still showing Star Trek.
Really?
They still had the poster up. They still had the placard up for Star Trek, and it had movie times on it.
Wow. Damn, I wanted to see Half-Blood Prince before Ark.
Yeah.
I forgot what
happened. See it again? Or? Yeah.
Oh, okay. We should listen to our episode.
Well, yeah, just re-listen to the episode. That'd be good.
What'd that guy think of it? That guy knows what he's talking about.
So, Friday, I tried... I couldn't go see it. I was going to see it Saturday night at the theater right here. Friday night I looked. It had showtimes all day long for Saturday. Saturday afternoon I looked because I was going to go to like a 10:20 show at night. All the showtimes for Saturday are gone. They're just not even there. But there's showtimes for Sunday. Sunday afternoon, I check it again. The showtimes stop at 5:30 in the evening for the whole rest of this week at our theater right here in our town. So I had to go into St. Louis to see it at 10 o'clock at night.
St. Louis sucks. Don't go there.
I know. That whole misery thing. It's the Black Factory.
It's the Black Factory. All right. So you done with your history over there?
Yeah, I'm done.
And your anecdotes?
Well, and the anecdotes was basically I'm not. Just because I'm going to tie it all up. And this movie tanked. Financially tanked at the box office. Hard.
Which is a shame because my complaints with the movie aside, the movie's a cool concept. And I would like to see more movies like... I don't dig the Pixar CG movies. But this is a movie that did the...
Because you don't watch them.
I don't like children's movies.
They're not childish, though. They are not childish.
They go for the. All right, we can have this. I'll watch
Wall-E. Oh. Watch Wall-E or Up. Or.
You know what? Fine. We'll do an episode on Wall-E at some point.
All right.
Fine. I was going. So look what you did.
One additional fact is this movie Focus features same people who produced Coraline too. This is their second animated outing.
And Focus features...
Didn't Coraline flop, too?
That would not be a surprise.
That sounds right to me.
I don't know. We should have somebody check on that.
I'm going to say it as fact.
Why don't we have the person who checks our box office figures every week check on that for us?
I don't know who that is now.
Is it true you hate kittens?
No. I have 3 cats. I raised all of them from kittens. I do hate sunshine.
Okay.
The sun burns me, don't worry.
It hurts like the truth, huh?
Yeah. Burns like the truth and my pee. So, damn it. Anyway, I like what they did with the movie. Like, post-apocalyptic movies, I dig. Okay. I dig post-apoc.
Right.
I also dig what I was led to believe from the preview and looking at, like, most of the previews, and a little bit from the beginning of the movie, is that there was something else going on. Like, we should get to the spoilers.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back after this.
Hey, Tom, great game.
Yeah, Phil, that was a close one.
Are you okay, man? You seem a little distant today.
I'm fine.
Really?
It's nothing. Just some guys at work.
What's up?
I just feel out of my depth sometimes. They have all these deep discussions about the meaning of life, destiny, philosophy, and all I can offer is the last movie I saw.
Hey man, you know what? I used to be just like you.
You? No way.
Yes way, Phil. For years, I felt inadequate, shallow, and unable to join in the big conversations.
What happened?
I found movie mantras.
Movie mantras? Is that some kind of cream?
No, my friend. It's a weekly podcast by some British guy that takes quotes from films and weaves them into usable wisdom. It totally changed my life.
Sounds perfect, but I bet it's expensive.
Well, the show offers a guarantee to turn you into a deep thinker capable of achieving all of your life goals or your money back.
Fantastic.
But the best part is that it's completely free.
Oh, my God.
That's right. So go to www.moviemantras.com And in a few weeks, you'll feel just like Yoda, only better looking.
I'll go right now. They have Wi-Fi in this gym. What was it again? www.moviemantras.com?
That's right. Movie Mantras. Shaves as close as a blade, or your money back.
So, my big complaint with this movie, so I like seamlessly went back into talking about the movie.
Right.
Then I went out of it, and I'm going to go talk back into it. What I hated about this movie was that from the moment the movie started, I kept getting the impression through like the dialogue, because there's a way to tell a story where you leave out facts and you tease things.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he walks out of the room and then the wind blows the paper away from the box and it says 9 on it.
Right.
And you're like, oh crap, something's going to happen with that box.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept waiting. And so like, I love reading media. Like I'm reading the Dresden Files. I hate when they do this to me. I love reading media where like I try and figure out the end beforehand. And
sure.
So like, as the percentage points of the movie tick up, we get to like 75% of the movie. And I was like, I don't know what the twist is going to be. And then we get to 80% and I was like, God damn it. I still don't know what the twist is going to be. So we get up to 95% and I'm like, God damn, when is the twist coming? So then the movie ends and I'm like, what the hell? What was my goddamn twist?
Yeah.
Like, where they hinted so much that there was something else going on, like, mm-hmm. that they would, he would learn a fact, and then it would, you'd look back at the rest of the movie and you'd be like, oh, that's what's going on. But that never happens. And I'm like, God damn it. I want that to happen. So then, on the whole ride home, I start, like, inventing things to try and make that true. And I was like, ugh.
Ugh. Okay.
So we can pick up where we left off in the exposition now.
I think they call it in Hitchcock films, that's called a MacGuffin.
Yeah. I kept waiting for that. I never got it.
All right.
No, I know the box comes back in, but it's nothing.
But not the way you
wanted
to.
So continue on. Let's continue on with the exposition of the plot.
So I can
make sure that all my research fills in the gaps of what I missed.
So 5 and 9 head down to Detroit, right?
Right.
Okay, so they're going to go save 2.
Yes.
So they cruise into Detroit, and ooh, spooky. The travel in this is like, takes a long time. So there's a lot of travel, which is cool, because you get to see a lot of the desolation. You get like a better, broader look at the city. And like,
it's a condensed version of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I mean,
they're going into the mines of Moria.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's Elijah Wood again.
Yeah, exactly. So they cruise in, they rescue 2, and then 7 shows up and chops the head off the beast. And I was like, what the hell? They just killed the antagonist. What the shit? So then I was like, is this movie over already?
Yeah, I watched that and I was like, did I miss something?
I was like, why did we spend so much time building up the beast?
I honestly thought that was one of the parts where I dozed off, because it was like, did I just fall asleep for half this movie because he just killed the beast and I just remember blinking slowly. You know?
Exactly. I was like, there was so much build up for the beast, and like, so I thought the end sequence was gonna be the beast. And I was like, all right. So then they kill the
especially
beast, like,
especially when they make out the beast to be the big bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the beast has been their bane.
Especially since there's been so much exposition thus far where one's like, we don't mess with the beast. All right. So we don't mess with the beast. We're going to avoid the beast. Ground rule set. I'm in.
All right. Oh my God. You know what this movie is? It's freaking Beowulf.
Dude, don't. I like that.
The beast is Grendel.
Yeah.
And the next thing is Grendel's mom.
And Detroit is Grendel's mom.
Oh my God.
The fabricator.
The seamstress.
No, that's a separate character.
Yeah,
twist is that the beast isn't the big bad.
The beast wasn't the real threat. It was the fabricator.
Which I was like, all right. So then they start the fabricator plot, and Seven's like, time to GTFO. 7 was the best part of this movie.
The fabricator
my
plot?
Favorite character.
Kind of missed that.
Really?
Yeah, that was part of the part that I think I missed.
So, mm-hmm. So 9 had that whatever piece he woke up with,
the
right?
Talisman, yeah.
The talisman, yeah.
Whatever that thing was. So he puts it on.
Okay, yeah, I did.
He puts it in the fabricator. Curiosity,
yeah, okay.
Thinking of it.
And they're like, "What the hell did you do?"
Yeah, 2's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" So then
he just woke up. He just woke up the fabricator.
Yeah. Then Detroit mind zaps 2.
Right.
Sucks his soul out.
Yeah. Which again, I was like, because you see like the reflection of the Stitch Punks as they get sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, something's gonna happen. Like then for half the movie, I was like, oh man, Detroit is 2 now, and it's not been trying to kill him. It's just been trying to, like, close it down so it can tell him it's 2. And I was like, oh, this could be cool if this was the twist. But it wasn't the twist.
This movie is no twist. This movie is full of missed opportunities for extra coolness.
I know.
It really was.
And I was like, this will be a cool thing, because then the Fabricator's like, rebuild the society, because blah, 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 it's going to suck up all 9 of them. That was the other thing. I thought towards the end that once it sucks up all 9 of them, then it'll be fine. Yeah, like the 9 of them can work together and control it.
Tony might have been having small strokes throughout the movie. That could very well be it.
So,
because now I find that I actually didn't miss as much of this movie as I thought.
So they escape from Detroit, and then Detroit builds a pterodactyl thing.
Yeah.
The flying version of the beast.
Yeah, the flying version of the beast. So they go back to the church. Church first. No. 7 takes them to the library first. Yes.
Yeah, to meet 3 okay. and 4.
Meets 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. 3 and 4 give them the slideshow, which was painful exposition.
I missed the slideshow.
So 3 and 4 just put on a projector.
Right.
And it just shows the history of Detroit and the war and all that stuff. And it was
I must have been semi-conscious through this, because I actually remember some of the war stuff.
Yeah, the war. Well,
the bombs and the planes.
There's two war segments.
Okay, then I might have.
There's the projector sequence where they just show the exposition, like, as a news broadcast.
Right.
Which was better than
where we meet scientists and the chancellor. And they give some of the backstory of how the Fabricator was taken over by the government to make the war machines.
Okay. Yeah.
And the second wartime exposition is 1. When 1's talking about, I'm in charge not because I have the 1 on me, but because I saved everyone else during the war.
I was the only one who kept my head.
Yeah, I was the only one who wasn't ridiculous, and I led us here, and here we are. And that's why I'm in charge. I don't remember what point that happens. Because when they get back to the church, then the
winged beast attacks.
Yeah.
One thing I gotta say, I meant to say it before, the church was freaking phenomenal as a setting.
It was beautiful.
Amazing. Amazingly gorgeous.
It was beautiful.
It has to be said, the lighting, the effects, the imagery of this movie was just absolutely stunning.
You will get no discrimination.
I can't.
For all my complaints about the movie was beautiful. So, long story short, Winged Beast ends up catching the place on fire. There's an escape sequence. I think 7 kills the Winged Beast again, because 7's a pretty big Billy Badass.
Well, we get to see also 8 swing in action, too, and do some damage.
Yeah, 8 was kind of... We'll get to 8 in a second. But 7 still kicked more ass.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe 5 did it. Sucked him into the propeller?
Well, they managed to trap the... they threw a lasso around the Winged Beast, and then they threw the other end of the lasso into the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
And then they started the ceiling fan, and it pulled it into the blades.
So that was the purpose of the ceiling fan, and...
yeah.
Okay.
So they end up escaping, and they go to the library, and 1's like, come on, what's going on? Look what you did. Look at our home, it's burning. So... then the movie gets good again, and I was like, oh, we're going somewhere dark, where Detroit takes 2's body and turns it into, like, a beast.
The seamstress.
Yeah.
We meet the seamstress.
Yeah. And then that was dark, because it's like, 2 shows up, and everybody's like, dude, what's going on? Oh, my God!
Yeah. He's being used as bait like an anglerfish does. It holds it out there and then stuns the next victim.
Yeah.
While the seamstress grabs hold of him and stitches them up.
Yeah. So I was down with this part, because this part was good, because it was real dark. And then they ripped 2 off there, and I was like, all right, well, what are you going to do with the body now? So 8 and 7 are taken by the scene. 8, 7, and 1?
It's 8 and...
No, it's just 8 and 7.
8 and 7, yeah. 8 and 7, and then at that point, 9 tries to organize the others to go after them.
Yeah, and so I think it's only 9. They all go. They all
He has to convince them to go.
Yeah. So 7 and 8 have been taken. Mm-hmm. 2 is dead. 1... 3, 4, 5, and 9 go after 7 and 8. Where the hell is 6? Who the hell is 6?
6 is the crazy artist one.
Oh, 6, yeah. 6 goes 2. Okay, so 6 goes 2. So they go to rescue 7 and 8 after another ridiculous sequence where 9 is battling Detroit. 8 gets sucked up, 7 and 9 escape, and I think they catch the factory on fire. There's some explosion action going on.
Well, five and three and four stay outside, and essentially nine tells them if they don't come out, they were to destroy the factory. And what they do is they take a barrel of oil and park it in front of the door, and they wait for them to come out. If they don't come out, they're going to push the barrel, punch a hole in the barrel, roll it into the factory and set it on fire. So they barely manage to make it out before the oil drum explodes.
Before that happens. Yeah. So at this point, the machine Detroit has sucked up 2 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everybody else gets out, and there's a big celebration scene with some music. All right.
Right. Sure. They think they've destroyed the fabricator now.
Yeah. And then it shows up and sucks up 5, and everybody else runs. I don't think it gets anybody else though. Not at this point.
Well, while they're sitting there celebrating on top of the Victrola. Sixes keeps telling them they shouldn't have destroyed it. They needed to go back to the source. And they keep wondering what he keeps going on about is, what is back to the source? You know, they think they've destroyed this thing. And then the fabricator they meet up with the fabricator. They find out the fabricator escaped from the factory and is after them again. And they try to, one organizes the others into trying to get an old howitzer going and start shelling the thing. All the time, Sixes hopping up and down, going extra crazy that they can't destroy the fabricator.
Right.
But it's picking them off one by one.
Right. So there's another chase sequence after 5 gets zapped. And then they end up on the other side of a bridge.
Right. The fabricator has tried to cross the bridge, but it can't support its weight.
Yeah.
So it's hanging there. And again, Six keeps shouting that they can't destroy it. They can't let it fall, because if they do, they'll lose everything. And they still don't understand what he's all about.
Mm-hmm. So, at this point, Nine's like, I think Six is right. I'm going to go back to that room and figure out what's going on. So he leaves, and everybody else is like getting some mortars ready to shoot the thing, which was actually pretty awesome. Those two things happen simultaneously. Nine finally figures out what's going on after he gets whatever message from the professor.
From the scientist, yeah. Finds out what the meaning of the talisman is.
Right. So he ends up going back and...
Do they say what that is?
Yeah, at the very end, they finally figure out what the talisman is. It's the talisman was the device the scientist used to transmit his soul to each one of the Stitch Punks. Each one of them is a part of his personality.
It was the ghost-capturing device in Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where... Okay. Yeah. This is another problem I had with this movie. I was like, this movie is very scientific. I am down with this. And then we start getting into like this weird esoteric, parts of my soul have been transferred to these things. And I was like, all right, it depends on how far we're going to take this, but I'm on board for right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of always got the impression, and I don't know if it was just a combination of the trailers and seeing that there was one person that created them all and they all had personalities. I always got the impression that the Stitch Punks were different pieces of the personality of the creator.
Yeah, and I was fine with that. I'm fine with that. I mean, because if you're going to make something that's going to be sentient,
you make it
in your image.
Yeah, you give it a piece of yourself. I mean,
and Nine seemed to be.
I do that in my writing. You know, there's generally a character or two that is me.
Right.
That is an extension of me in the story. Just so. Because I know myself, I can write that.
And Nine seems to be the most, like, if you look at him, Nine seems to be the most complete person. So you make the, like, kind of intrinsic logical step that Nine is the finished product.
Yeah, it's the most evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of get that impression going through that each one was created, and these are different versions, and some versions improve, some versions are mistakes, or appear to be mistakes, even though that they're of a higher version number, like 6.
Right.
6 looks like he's a mistake, but at the same time, 6 has great value. Mm. Because 6 really does know what's going on,
right.
Even though he's got the Cassandra thing going for him, too.
Right. So, 9 shows back up and he's like, I know what to do. And so, he devises the plan wherein he's going to sacrifice himself so 7 can pull out the device. And then at the last second, 1 shows up and he's like, I'll take care of this, you sit down. Which was a cool redemption scene for 1, and then allowed 9 to pull out the device.
Right. The talisman.
The talisman or whatever. Right. And then the movie gets real dumb.
Yeah, because, you know, to be honest, I was like, wow, this is really cool. I wonder where they're going after this. I wonder how long is left in the movie. I actually pulled my phone out and looked to see what time it was.
Yep.
And I realized the movie started all the credits and everything, or the trailers and everything started 85 minutes ago. Oh, God, this movie is over.
Yep.
And then it just kind of ends.
Then there's the ghost scene.
Oh, that was
where
painful.
They release all the captured souls back.
That was painful.
And this, that scene was doubly painful because they expected so much, and then they didn't do anything with it. I was like, what the hell is my twist?
Not only that, but from the moment he pulls that talisman out, everything goes from, everything that we had before that is just kind of pissed on.
Yeah, and now it's a new movie. Now it's a new movie. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, because now all of a sudden we get rain. And apparently that's meaningful, even though in my memory, rain and the desolation and dryness was never really spoken about and never really played into it and was never a factor. I mean, if they had taken a 2-minute sequence of them needing to seek out water for any reason, that would have been far more meaningful.
Well, they had the little bacteria stuff.
Oh, that's bogus. That's just bullshit what that is.
I'm just telling you what they were going for.
I know what they were going for. That was lame.
9 is Mwa Deep. Thank you, Eric.
That's awesome.
So that was my big disappointment with 9. And there was like so much potential for an awesome movie.
You know what my big problem with the movie was? My big problem with the movie was the whole point of this whole thing was that he created the 9 to stop the Fabricator.
No. The whole thing.
What was the purpose of creating them?
The purpose of creating them, he states, was essentially to start life over again, since humanity was being wiped out. As soon as all of humanity was wiped out, the Fabricator would eventually fail. And that's what he was waiting for. These were going to be the next genesis of life.
But wait a minute. What turned on the Fabricator?
What turned it on?
Oh, yeah, that piece. I know what you're saying.
This whole part is completely just
the Fabricator was working before he created the talisman.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of the talisman?
Well, it worked, and then it broke, and then the talisman fixed it.
I don't understand this.
No,
this
doesn't make sense. I know.
The movie is broken. The movie is completely broken.
I know. This is why the ending is the worst thing ever, because it's like up until the point where it shoots off into space and makes germ rain, the movie makes sense because it's like, it makes mostly sense.
Yeah.
Because what they do with the talisman?
It needed... What is goofy about this is the idea that this was so well thought out that the talisman was used to restart the Fabricator so that the Fabricator could kill and collect the souls of the Stitch Punks so that then the remaining Stitch Punks could kill the Fabricator so that they could release the souls. This is insane.
This is my problem with the movie.
This is why I thought I fell asleep. And I don't think I did. Now I don't think I fell asleep. I think this movie was just so bad.
I wanted to like this movie so much.
I really did.
Up until that last point, I was all on board. I was like, you know what? The twist is coming. But instead of the twist, I got the credits. And then I was pissed.
The twist is they just made up the last of the movie. I think one of the biggest problems of this movie, and the chat room was talking about it for a little while.
The brilliant. The movie is a metaphor for the metaphor. The movie is a metaphor for the metaphor in the movie. The wasted potential of humanity.
I'm down with that. And therefore, I give this movie a grade A. 3 boners up.
3 boners up.
All right.
It's a hell of a feat.
3 stitches up.
Three. All right. I don't even remember what I was going to say. God damn it.
That's what I got. That's what I got on this movie.
There was something else I was going to say. Oh, no. I know what it was. Because the chat room was talking about it for a while before. And I just hadn't got around to making the point. This movie has no clue what its audience is. None. This is a kids movie that is too dark for children. Because the plot,
don't worry.
Because the plot is so straightforward. You were expecting a twist. I was expecting a twist. Were you expecting a twist?
Nope.
I was expecting a twist. Because
it was
I'm
so
looking
meticulous.
At this
movie. Like, because movies that start out with a plan that is set in motion by somebody who dies, there's always a twist. Or there's always a grand design that's revealed at the end where it's like,
Oh, and there was a grand design.
Stop.
But see, there stop. Was!
Because it's
as ridiculous as it
what
is.
What you thought the grand design was, that's not really what I... That's not what I intended. And then you're like, oh, that makes sense because everything worked towards that from the beginning.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. And I was like, what the hell? What are we watching? Even Coraline has a twist.
Well, that's what I say.
Yeah, Coraline does have a twist. Coraline's
movie for adults who never grew up and are still Tim Burton fans.
And, oh, wow.
But I am a Tim Burton fan.
There's four of them.
Wow. But I grew up.
I think this movie misses its market though. I think it's just too dark for kids, and it's a kids movie. I think the story is far more appealing to children because they're not as jaded. I think I'm just too jaded to appreciate anything about the movie. The ending,
is so bad because the way that the personalities work in the movie, okay, each of the numbers represents a different fraction of the guy's personality.
Right.
So you've got the dick leader, but the kids don't have any emotional reaction to that. They don't understand that on a mature level. I look at that guy and it's like, oh, that guy's a dick leader. I've met that guy and I hate that quality in people where they're a dick because they're in charge and leading.
But you know what? Kids do pick up on that and kids do see that guy's just mean.
That's not where the there's no emotion there though. There's no understanding. There's no resentment.
There are a couple of sequences in this movie, because of the action sequences in this movie, I could never take Holden to see it. The opening action sequence with Nine and the Beast, because I'm thinking, man, I think he would kind of dig this. And I saw that sequence, and I was like, there is no way in hell. Yeah, well, yeah.
Because it's like, they slapped a motor on a skeleton, and the skeleton's running around eating things.
Yeah.
Although none of the Nine had actually died by the point that Nine came alive.
Right.
Only when Nine showed up did people start dying.
And see, I think that was a failing of the movie too. There really wasn't any sense of dread. I mean, they were all scared of the Beast, and what was it, Five is missing an eye?
Mm-hmm.
But Five isn't missing an eye because of the Beast.
No, Five's missing an eye because of shrapnel.
Because of the shrapnel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they were
trying to escape the first time.
Right. So, there was really no sense of why they were so scared of the Beast. Just that, oh my God, it's the Beast, we're scared of the Beast. I think that was a failing. And that's a failing in storytelling. They told us to be scared of the Beast.
They showed the Beast.
And they showed the Beast is scary.
Beast was pretty horrific.
But at the same time, you only saw the Beast face off against one of the eight at that point. If of the eight, they picked the guy who was handy with a knife, but he wasn't number eight, who... I think
he's the warrior.
Number eight with a blade combined with number seven, who's the badass, they could have done some damage to the Beast, you know.
Well, I mean, Seven took it out by herself.
And that's my point. Right.
That the Beast wasn't all the Beast could be.
Right.
They relied more on the...
They told us to be scared of the Beast. They told us to be scared of the Beast.
And they relied on the image of it.
Yep. This movie, the more I talk about this movie, the more problems I find with it. It's a pretty movie. I just have a lot of problems with it. You've been sitting there quiet for a while there.
you brought up a whole bunch of great points as far as overall analysis of it. Yeah, there are parts of this movie which need work. I mean, hopefully there will be a director's cut of this thing. Well, they'll put some more of the backstory in and explain their motivations the better.
Wait a minute. Why would there need to be a director's cut? The movie was only 80 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
80. There's no reason for them to have cut anything for length.
Oh, no, it doesn't need to be cut for length. It needs to be expanded.
Okay.
Yeah, it means
the thing needs to be re-edited somewhat to explain some of the motivations behind it. I mean, you can watch this thing and still enjoy it, usually for the animation, even for the the story itself. But because I can't imagine the action.
I can't imagine a director's cut of the movie is going to fix it, though, because the movie is so drawn out for the 80 minutes that are there, and then ends so abruptly and is only 80 minutes long.
Well, maybe it needs a new ending, period, get rid of the metaphysical
Oh, yeah. Ending. That would be fine with me.
That was totally against the tone of this movie.
I mean, they could have just ended the movie as soon as he pulled the talismans out and the fabricator fell apart. And he could have just said, could have had Seven says, well, what do we do now? And he said, anything we want to do. And just ended the film right at that point.
I'd have been happy with that. I would have been far more happy with that.
Because it would have left it, at least it would have left the movie.
Then Nine could have turned to Seven and like, let's bang. We've been building it up all movie.
It's a 79 and not a 60.
79.
Well, that begs the question, would he have a needle dick?
I'd watch a porno of this movie.
I think somebody mentioned earlier in the chat room that they were going to look to see if there was any mind-bending fanfic already written about this.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know somebody out there has written some.
There were some pretty awesome scenes, like when 8 is using the magnet
to get high.
His brain. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he relaxes by getting high while getting magnetized, doing current.
For as important as 9 was, and as supposedly intelligent as 9 was, 9 was also curious to the point of destruction. And they showed that. I mean, they showed it once, and he didn't learn the lesson. Because the lesson was curbed. At the beginning of the movie, he picks up a bullet. And the first thing he does is pick it up, and he's going to bash it on something. And two is like, no. Just put it down. There's some things in this world that are better left untouched. And it was like, okay, that's coming back. And it does, but it doesn't feel like there's any growth from some of this stuff.
I don't think that there will be any growth. Just crap
storytelling.
I understand that. It's a fractured. It's the dude's personality fractured. So that guy has the curiosity that none of the rest of them have. Elements of 2 has them.
Right.
But 2 more has the wisdom, and he's got the
courage. Two is the wisdom.
It's kind of like the Triforce. 8's got the power. 9's got the courage. And 2's got the wisdom.
And 7's got the all right, enough.
No, it's never enough.
They all come together to form Voltron.
Your crotch has char marks. You've been cheating on me.
Retweet them in a burlap light.
Oh.
All right, I got nothing else
here. I just had a lot more expectations in the movie. I was let down.
Me too. This is why I thought Gamera was a better movie. Like, I walked into this movie, and this is terrible to admit, but it's like, this is kind of it was a geek movie, right? The impression was that it was a geek movie, so I walked in and I'm like, I want to like this movie because it's a geek movie, and I want to support geek movies so more get made. And then midway through, I was like, God damn, this has the potential to be so good. And then all the way through, I was like, God damn, that had the potential to be so good.
This movie to Coraline is what Corpse Bride was to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Why are we taking the SATs?
I'm just.
Brown is to yellow as fuchsia is to. I don't know what color fuchsia
orange.
Is.
Orange.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
All right, I'm done here.
Stingray. I like Stingray. What Stingray? Stingray. But they took an adult horror movie and tried to turn it into a kids movie. They failed.
I agree. Well,
maybe they'll essentially recut this thing and make it back into an adult horror movie. So that's the
only thing. I don't think it even necessarily needs to be a horror movie. I think they just skewed their message and they went for an ending that was. I think they went for an ending that was too Hollywood.
Oh yeah, well that's a common feeling with just about every freaking movie.
There was too much hope left at the end for a post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah, that theme is despair, not hope.
Again, this is a problem with all animated movies. Again, the producer has one idea. He'd like to make it for an older audience. And, of course, the advertisers and the marketing guys, we want a kids movie because it's animated. That's because adults won't watch it.
But that's BS if you look at the producers and who was back in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got Tim Burton and... I know. Who's the other guy? Oh.
The director or...
The director was Shane Acker.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another producer that does adult stuff. And not like porn.
Well, adult
porn. It's the only adult stuff.
Well, yeah.
I choose to watch.
Timur Bekmambetov, if I'm pronouncing that name right.
I don't remember.
And Dana,
oh, it was the person
Dana
who did
Ginsburg is the other producer.
What did they do? Damn it.
Jim Lindsay?
Yeah. What did Timur Bekmambetov do? I like how Chris is actually feeding into my mania here, and he's going to have to be the one that edits through it. Wanted.
Wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was I talking about the movie at the beginning?
Yeah, you were just talking about
that. Oh, yeah, I watched that yesterday.
I was going to say, you just talked about that an hour ago.
Yeah, I rewatched Wanted. This wasn't on the recording. I rewatched Wanted yesterday, and it was a lot better than I thought it was. That Loom thing was... See, this guy has a problem with, like, the one thing that is just too ridiculous. Like, the curving bullets, I was okay with the curving bullets. That wasn't my problem. But mm-hmm. the stupid goddamn Loom.
Yeah.
Found the fan fiction.
Oh my!
I'm
goodness.
Finished here. This is where we're done.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna stick with my original idea that.
Did Night Watch and Day Watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like Night Watch and Day Watch.
I'm gonna stick with my original idea that I want to see the 11-minute short silent film, and that's what I want to choose this movie to have been without having seen the 11-minute short silent film. Because I think it is 11-minute short silent film with only two characters and one of them who dies at the end and only leaving one other one, I would be much happier with this movie.
I think that on the way home, I'm going to listen to Erotica a la carte.
Just make sure you have some extra napkins in the car. That's all I'm saying.
I clean my car. Right, very disappointing.
Steering wheel gets all sticky.
There's file source was posting a lot of fan. I got to get out of here.
Yes. Yeah, soon they'll make
the road
that.
Jerk.
Yeah, soon they'll make that illegal too, like texting.
How are they gonna know?
All right, see ya. Bye. Next week. Next week.